Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Good morning, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for a little while. We'll be bringing you daily broadcasts all this week, focusing in on, as we continue to reflect on the Christmas season, of course, which concludes on this coming Sunday, the Feast of the Lord's Baptism, and also preparing for the events of next week, the March for Life and related events, and reflecting on the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized child killing in the United States and talking more about that. But first, before we get into some of these topics, let's look at what today's reflection is from my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day, which I hope you have your copy of. You can get it at prolifereflectionsforeveryday.com. In the Gospel of Life, number 99, we read, I turn my thoughts in particular to you, women who have had abortions. Do not despair or abandon hope. That's John Paul II speaking. Reflection. The God of life is a God of mercy. The pro-life movement rejects abortion, but does not reject those who have had abortions. Rather, it embraces them with love and mercy and invites them to the forgiveness and peace of Christ. Let us pray. Lord, I pray for all those who have had abortions. Through the compassion of others, may they turn to you for forgiveness, and may you grant them your peace. Amen. You know, this raises an interesting point. We have people on our Priests for Life team who have had abortions and who speak about it publicly. For example, Evangelist Alveda King, who reaches so many people, who is loved by so many people, who has such a prominent role in speaking on behalf of Priests for Life. She had two abortions. And if we can get this message out, as we are doing day by day, that even those who have had their children killed by abortion, after repenting, of course, turning to the Lord for His forgiveness, even they can find that forgiveness and can find peace and can be part of the Lord's mission and part of the pro-life movement and part of the church and part of the efforts to tell others that they should not be getting abortions. You know what that does? That doesn't only help those who are still trapped in the despair that follows abortion. That helps people trapped in the despair of any sin. And it reminds us that the church is not just for the pure. There used to be a heresy that said, oh, the church is only for those who have been freed from sin. Well, no, the church is for sinners. We can be members of the church, and then if we still sin, we come back. There's repentance, there's restoration, there's forgiveness. And you don't only stay part of the church, you stay part of the church's mission to have committed a sin does not take away your opportunity, your right, in fact, your duty to help others not commit that sin. Otherwise, none of us would be able to say anything about anything. We would all have to keep silent about the law of God, about the gospel of Christ. If only the sinless can urge others not to sin, well, then we don't have much to say. So let's keep this in mind, that proclaiming this message has an impact right across the board in regard to everyone who is trying to serve God and, of course, failing every day in various ways. Well, brothers and sisters, here in my hand, I have a document that we're going to refer to throughout the week and into next week. It is the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision, issued on January 22nd of 1973. This document was the most destructive and disastrous decision by the Supreme Court in its entire history, in fact, by any court of any country in all of human history, leading to what is currently a death count of over 60 million children, legalizing their killing in the womb by saying that they are not persons under the Constitution. Of course, the Constitution requires that persons be protected in their right to life. this document says the word person does not include the unborn. It has no basis for saying that. It has no authority to say that. It, in fact, is null and void by definition, because any decision that legalizes the killing of the innocent has no legal authority. And yet, the killing goes on as people continue to invoke this Roe v. Wade decision, and the people coming to Washington, and in fact coming to prayer rallies, gatherings, marches, and protests all across the country in these coming days and weeks, are in fact standing up against this decision and saying, yes, the word person does include the unborn. And I want to reflect with you today specifically about the fact that the March for Life in Washington, the largest pro-life event of the year, takes place at a specific time of the year and in a specific city. Now, one might think that if we're going to bring a large number of people out to march and stand all day outdoors, we might want to do it in May, in a nice spring weather kind of month. We do it in the middle of January, in the deep of winter, often having to battle snow and ice and bitter cold. Let's reflect for a moment why. I'm not talking about, oh, well, we make sacrifices for the unborn. Well, of course we do, but I'm getting to the deeper question. Why on or around January 22nd do we have this march? And why in Washington, D.C.? And that is, again, because there was a specific decision about a specific group of people issued from a particular place at a particular time. It was the Supreme Court of the United States in Washington, D.C. that issued this decision in regard to the unborn. And that's why we're coming to Washington on or around January 22nd. That's how the march is determined. It's because of the unborn. It's because we're speaking up to save children in the womb from the violence of abortion. And friends, the reason I'm mentioning this, I want you to think about and listen carefully in these coming days and weeks to the various, hopefully, sermons that you will hear in your churches about abortion and about pro-life, the various talks that you will hear at the events that you go to in commemoration, the sad commemoration of Roe v. Wade. I want to ask you to pay attention to the focus. In other words, we often hear phrases like, well, we respect human life from conception to natural death. Or we're building a culture of life and a civilization of love. Or we're fighting for the sanctity of all human life. Now, this is true. But understand me when I say this is not what brings us to Washington on this year. It's January 18th. Because to say that we respect all human life from conception to natural death is, it's true enough. But that's expressing our ethic. We have an ethic that embraces all human life at every moment. But an ethic doesn't lead to a specific place at a specific time. You can express your ethic of standing up for the sanctity of all human life in the middle of June in Seattle, in the end of May in St. Louis, in Little Rock, Arkansas, on the 4th of July. You see what I'm saying? In other words, the ethic covers all times, all places. It's what is at the foundation of our attitude towards human life. But that doesn't start a movement. That doesn't bring us to a specific city on a specific date. If all we were doing was saying, well, we respect all human life, and no matter what the issue is, and we respect it from conception to natural death. Again, true enough. But then why come to Washington on January 18th? And that's why, you know, we need to be looking and listening for some specific words during these days. Don't settle just for, oh, well, we're building a culture of life. Don't settle just for, yes, I respect all human life from conception to natural death. That doesn't define a movement. What defines this movement is that on January 22nd, 1973, a court in Washington, D.C., took away the protection of the lives, not of human life from conception to natural death, took away the protection of the lives of the children in the womb. And it took that protection away precisely so that people could choose to violently kill them by the abortion procedure. So I want to ask you, during the pro-life talks that you hear during these days, whether it's a sermon or some other kind of talk or an article or a letter to the editor, look for the word abortion. Look for the phrase Roe versus Wade. Look for the term unborn child or children in the womb, because that's the specificity with which we need to enter into these days. That's the specific focus that we need to be remembering and recalling to others that is going to bring us together in Washington on a specific day in a specific city. An ethic doesn't generate a specific city. A general vision of restoring a culture of life doesn't bring together people on a specific day. This is about abortion. This is about the children in the womb. This is about protecting their right to life. This is about saving the unborn from the violence of abortion. So let's keep that focus. I want to encourage you to do that. And we'll be delving more into what this decision actually says and doesn't say and what we can say in response to it. So keep tuned in to us each day. And I'm looking forward to seeing so many of you in Washington, D.C., and also in San Francisco the following week at the West Coast Walk for Life. We at Priests for Life are organizing many of the events surrounding these big marches. And you can find out my detailed schedule at priestsforlife.org/marchforlife. priestsforlife.org/marchforlife. I'll be leading, for example, the protest at Planned Parenthood this coming Thursday, Thursday, the 17th of January, the day before the march. We'll be having the National Prayer Service on Friday morning, the 18th, at Constitution Hall. We'll be having the Silent No More gathering as we come to the end of the March for Life that afternoon. I hope to see you at one or more of those events. Again, priestsforlife.org/marchforlife will give you the details, the times, and the places. Let's speak up and pray for the children in the womb to protect them from abortion. That's what this is about. So God bless you. Bless you all your intentions and your loved ones in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll talk to you soon, friends. Father Frank Pavone here from Priests for Life.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.